All right, what's good, everybody? Welcome back to Chopping It Up with P. Scott. I'm Prescott Kelly. Today is Thursday, September 21st. Glad to have you back with us. As you can see, y'all were quick to the Josh Allen train, and y'all was quick to jump off of it. We're going to recap your guys' roller coaster through his journey of the NFL. I read that Coach Prime is being linked to the NFL. That's actually not that surprising, considering how NFL GMs work and their anonymous sources. Trayvon Diggs is out for the entire season. What does that do for the Dallas defense and team? And whatever you guys want to talk about, leave it in the comments and we'll get to it. So what I want to start off with is obviously this Josh Allen thing, because what I've been doing, it's tough being right, but it happens when you actually watch a certain team. So I remember when Josh Allen's first coming into the league, and it was, this guy's trash. He's booty juice. And I told y'all, look, there's no weapons there. Because if you remember that offense, when it first got going, it had good burger Calvin Benjamin, a broken Charles Clay, and an old LeSean McCoy, and that was pretty much it. That was their offensive weaponry for Josh Allen. And I was like, just cool it. Let's give it a little bit of time. Next thing you know, pandemic year happens. Or I guess that was the year after that. But there's nobody in the stands, and he finally gets Stephon Diggs, and Stephon Diggs make him look like he's just an absolute stud. Two weeks into that year, people were anointing him a top five quarterback when the year beforehand you thought he was trash. Now that you are actually getting to see these stats start to compile, the interceptions, the lost fumbles, the interceptable passes, all of a sudden, we're into week two of this year. Now, he roasted the Raiders last week. But in week one, it was already, nope, he's not good anymore. You got to have a little bit of high and a little bit of low. And that's what his career has essentially been. It's either been all lows or all highs. And I've been telling y'all since day one, this is who he is. You cannot, for whatever reason, teach the hero ball out of him. You're going to have some good, you're going to have some bad. And I've acknowledged the fact that he's the best quarterback that Buffalo has had since Jim Kelly. And if you really want to be that archaic about it, you can say Doug Flutie. Fine. I'll grant you Doug Flutie because he had a magical year and a half or so. That's great too. It's a good feel-good story. But Jim Kelly is the last relevant quarterback that Buffalo's had. And Bills fans want to latch onto that. And when we see him do things that we usually don't see from especially white quarterbacks, we want to draw into it and make him better than he is. And I'm not saying he's not a talented dude. I know that he is. But it's weird how his career has been all peaks and all valleys. He's either the greatest quarterback that you've seen essentially since Mahomes, or he's complete trash. And the reason why we're doing this and giving it more traction now than we have in the past is Dak has always been kind of the guy that we've made fun of, right? Because he missed a bunch of games and still threw for 15 picks. He also has a star on his helmet. Dak is held to a different degree of scrutiny because he plays for Dallas. But once you see that, oh, Josh Allen actually leads the league in turnovers. It's not Dak. I mean, we want to say it's him. We want to pretend that it is, but it's not. It's the dude who plays for the squad right behind me. And now we're starting to have, now for whatever reason, we want to have some context when it comes to Josh Allen, which is weird to me because we didn't want to do it beforehand. And what I want to do real quick is, if anybody's watching this who is in some of the other sports groups that I'm in, Ryan Davis, I'm going to give a shout out to you because he's a Jets fan. So you would think that he's all slander about the Buffalo Bills, which he's not. But him and I apparently share similar sentiments about this, and I hope that this gets out to him. Buffalo's been labeled as an AFC front runner for really the last 3 years, especially the last two. And I've been telling people, this window is incredibly small for Buffalo to do anything. If they don't win a championship this season, which I don't believe that they will, but if they don't, you almost have to blow the entire thing up. Von Miller's in his mid-30s, coming off a serious injury. Micah Hyde is over 30 years old. Jordan Poyer's 30 years old. Tre'Davious White's the only real cornerback that they have because they still haven't been able to address one opposite of him because Kaiir Elam hasn't worked out yet. Their defensive line is, it's deep, but Ed Oliver isn't really that dude, in my opinion. Gregory Rousseau, I have no idea what he actually is. AJ Epenesa, they haven't really used him much. There's dudes on the line. But after that, it's an old secondary, like I said. And the only real linebacker you have is Matt Milano because you let Tremaine Edmonds go to Chicago. So your defense isn't that good. It's been touted that they're, oh, well, they're a great run defense. That's because they've been able to get up on teams early and teams are abandoning the run and throwing the rock all over the place on them. They're not, people aren't going to be running the ball when they're down by 17. But again, Buffalo lets them back into football games. And on the offensive side of the ball, that offensive line is atrocious. It is garbage. Josh Allen, because he's so elusive, he has the ability to extend plays and make the offensive line look better than they are. But that offensive line is not good at all. And it's their run game as well that's irritated the hell out of me. And I've been saying this for a long time too. The Bills do have a run game. They just choose not to use it. And they certainly can't run circumstantially. We've seen that. It goes back to my point of they let teams back in because if they need to run the ball, they just absolutely can't and or won't because they want Josh Allen to be the second coming of Gridiron Jesus. And like we talked about earlier, he's just not. And then when you look at their weapons, it's Stephon Diggs. And then you have, what, Dawson Knox and then Dalton Kincaid. Their other wide receiver, Gabe Davis, I'm so tired of hearing about. He had one monster game against Kansas City. And this, again, goes back to you let one game change your perspective of who you think Gabe Davis is. Stop building him up to be a great number two because he's not. He disappears all the time. He'll get you four catches for 120 yards one game and then one catch for 6 yards the next. He's not a number two wide receiver, and people need to stop building him up that way. That Bills offensive line is flawed, their weapons are flawed, and that defense isn't as good as what people believe because they've had A, either easy schedules, or B, got up on people early and allowed teams to get back in. So I'm going to go ahead and pause real quick for that. Hold up just a moment. Boy, it's starting to get a little parched. So yeah, I basically want to let Ryan Davis know, hey man, you are spot on with your analysis. And it's not just because I share the same one. I'm a little biased on it, obviously, because it's my take as well. But stop building Buffalo to be up more than they are because they're not contenders. They're not going to win anything this year anyways. And when they don't win anything, I get to tell you one more time, I told you so. So Dallas had a real big blow to their defense today. Trevon Diggs tears his ACL and he's out for the entire season. I know a lot of Cowboys fans are freaking out. What's the next step? How much does it mean? What's going to happen? They're still going to be really good. We've seen this Dallas defense wreck two squads. And yes, it's been what? It has been the Giants and the Jets. Okay. Yeah, that's not super impressive talent that you're facing right now. But when you put up a 40-0 burger on somebody and then win 30-10 the next week, it's still impressive regardless of what it is because it's still grown men, grown athletes, and paid professionals. So whatever happens, the outcome is the outcome. Now, I think what there's Dallas to me is still going to be fine because that defensive pass rush is ridiculous. Micah Parsons is just his own version of Manchild that we hardly ever see. I know that some people have been basically calling him the 2020s version of Lawrence Taylor. That seems like it's a little hyperbolic to me. But all I know is that it was when Micah Parsons on the field, the dude makes plays. When it comes to the secondary, I still believe in Dallas, the secondary. It's just not going to be as opportunistic. Diggs is, he's notorious for not even just creating the turnovers, but the ability to take it back to the house. So you may not see as many interceptions from Dallas. You may not see the pick sixes that you'll see because Stephon Gilmore is still a lockdown corner, but they get so much pressure with the front four and their linebackers that it opens up things for the secondary. And it can go either way, right? You don't have to have a dominant pass rush to have a great secondary. They can complement each other, though. If you get pressure with four, you can have subpar corners, but they can look better because you have so much pressure up front. Same thing with your secondary. If your secondary is elite and nobody can get open, it makes your pass rush look better because quarterback's holding the ball longer. He has to scramble, whatever the case might be. So when I'm looking at Dallas, yeah, it sucks that you lost Diggs for the entire year. That's a huge playmaker that you're losing. But I don't think that Dan Quinn is going to take the foot off the gas as far as trying to apply pressure. That is one of the reasons why Diggs is able to get the picks that he does, is because they get so much pressure. Quarterbacks make bad decisions, or it's off target, it's rushed, it's tipped. There's so many things that can happen because you get the pressure with four. But so since they can do that, Dallas to me isn't going to miss as much of a beat as what people think. The name is what you're missing because you're like, oh, Trevon Diggs, like he's a top five corner and can take it to the house whenever he gets his hands on the ball. All of those things are true. But in its entirety, Dallas's defense is still going to be fine. It won't be as electric. They won't be as opportunistic. But I just don't think it's going to be, I don't want to say it's not going to be detrimental because obviously losing that guy is a key component. It's kind of like with the Rams and they lost Jalen Ramsey. Losing Jalen Ramsey is never a good thing. But if you have the other complementary pieces around it, you can still be viable as a defense, which I think that Dallas is more than viable even without Diggs. What's up, Mr. Busby? Mike Busby says their defensive backfield is deep. Diggs hurt, but they are still solid backs there. Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at as well. They have the depth, and that's what I mentioned with Buffalo earlier. They have no depth. They're starting three in their secondary are great. They have no opposite corner. And Buffalo, for that, is what I'm referring to right now. But Dallas is deep. And again, with the pressure that they get from their front four and their linebackers, it makes their defensive backs even better than what they are anyways. And again, I know Stephon Gilmore, he's lost a little bit of a step because he's in his early 30s, but he's still, I don't like doing lists because I think it's like one of the dumbest things that we do in sports, but he's still arguably a top 10 to 12 cornerback in the league. So even him by himself, even if you didn't have the depth, Dallas is going to be just fine. I wouldn't worry too much. Obviously, you'd like to have another playmaker and have that ticket to the house ability. But again, it's not the end of the world if you're Dallas. I wouldn't overreact if you're Dan Quinn. What you don't want to do is say, oh, we lost this corner. Now we have to play a little bit more conservative. No, keep the pedal to metal. Keep applying the pressure. That's what you do well. You shouldn't have to change up your game plan a whole lot defensively just because Diggs is down. Now, if Parsons was out, that's an entirely different story because that guy opens up lanes for other linebackers, opens up one-on-one situations for more of your interior linemen. If Micah Parsons is missing for the entire season, that's a completely different ballgame. But your corner, at least, it's not as detrimental, regardless of how good he is. It's not as detrimental as losing a guy like Micah Parsons. Moving on to the next topic. So we have every single year, we get a coach that is in the coaching or in the college ranks that is always rumored to be at the professional level at the end of this season or when their contract expires or what have you. And it's no surprise that Deion Sanders is now being linked to a potential NFL spot. It also doesn't surprise me that it's from an anonymous GM, from an anonymous source. It's the one thing that absolutely bugs the hell out of me. If you're going to, for lack of a better term, report something, put your name on it. Put your name on it. So do I think that Deion Sanders is going to coach in the NFL one day? I actually think that he will. He said repeatedly that he won't. And in press conferences, he said, I've already told you I'm not going to do that. Well, I remember Nick Saban saying, I'm not leaving Miami. And within 14 minutes, he was on his way back to the coaching ranks in college. Dave Gettleman, I'm not trading Odell Beckham Jr. Spoiler alert, you did. I don't trust anything that comes out of these guys' mouths because they're only giving lip service to the fans and saying what the fan base needs to hear and wants to hear because it makes them feel good. So I also remember Deion saying, well, God wanted me to be at Jackson State. Well, I mean, I think that you'd still be there, right? Like, there's always a caveat. There's always a twist of words. And when it comes to coaches, speaking in front of, if they're speaking in front of like a pep rally or something like that, if they say something goofy, like Brian Kelly at LSU, when they were playing FSU, said, we're going to beat the heck out of them. Yeah, but like that's in front of, like that wasn't a real press conference. If it was, you better own it. If you're just trying to hype up your team or your school, especially when you're dealing with kids, I don't really have that big of a problem with it. But if Deion's saying, well, God sent me to Jackson State, he wanted me to be there, he spoke to me. All right, man, well, I feel like the kids probably wanted you to still be there too, which is why I have no problem with the transfer portal or NIL or any of these other things as well. But when it comes to Deion, I don't know. He says he doesn't want to coach in the NFL. But when you really break it down, he has won at every single level, right? He's arguably the greatest cornerback that we've ever seen, at least influential. Whether you want to rate him the number one corner of all time or not, that's on you. I personally don't do that. But everywhere he's gone, he's won, and he's won pretty instantly. He's proven the fact that regardless of whatever situation that he's in, he has the ability to turn programs around, have good kids, and like he wins everywhere. So what is it that, why wouldn't he want to prove that he could do it at the next level? He says it's because he wants to be at the college ranks because he enjoys working with kids. I do believe that he means that. I have never met Deion Sanders, and I probably never will. But I've heard too many lies from too many people at the coaching perspective or higher, because even players lie to us all the time too. They tell us what we want to hear, and I don't buy into it. Same thing with coaching. But I do think that there's something in him that wants to show, yeah, I can do it in the NFL as well. And he wasn't at Jackson State for long. He said he wanted to stay there for a while. He was there for what, 3 years? And then jumped ship? I don't want to use your term jump ship. That's actually, that sounds pretty reckless and irresponsible of me. But he went to Colorado, and he's beating the brakes off people there. And the buzz is such where it took three games to go from, what are you doing going to Colorado? You can't turn around. And essentially everybody thinking the exact same way. You went from, as a nation, collectively, we said, why are you going to Colorado? And you're getting rid of all your players, and you're sending kids who are all in the program away. Man, you can't do this. That's a bad look, dog. This is not going to work. And within three games, there's already buzz around him potentially going to the NFL. I believe that Deion wants to prove that he can do it. I don't think it'll be at the end of next year. I think that if he jumps ship after 1 year, the look is going to be incredibly terrible on him. Not to say that he can't rebound from it, because he's Deion Sanders. I don't think he's really all that worried about his image and it being tarnished. But what I would say is, when there's that much ego involved, and Deion has an ego, all these athletes do, you have to have an ego. Same with the managers, the owners of these team presidents, ego is involved with all of them. And it blows my mind how many sports fans don't understand how much just the ego is the equation of what some of the decisions that they make. Same thing with players, ego and pettiness. They sign in division all the time when they're free agents because they want to get back at their old squad. Ego and pettiness has such a more prominent lane than most fans want to acknowledge. So when I look at Deion, and he's had success, and they're 3-0 right now. And I said this to somebody a few days ago, is Coach Prime is in like a really good and bad spot. It's good because it's good for college football. It's a good narrative. It's a feel-good story. But it's also, there's such backlash from a certain demographic, wink, wink, that the moment that Deion Sanders takes one L and it's on his record at Colorado, the backlash is instantly going to be, see, told you. See, told you. It couldn't work. It can't work. The moment that guy takes one L in the column is when he's going to get ridiculed, which I know it's not going to be. It's Deion Sanders again. He's not going to be that bothered by it, but college football and the old heads in that space are going to run with it and turn it into something much bigger than it needs to be. But to get back to the NFL, yeah, I think the ego is going to play a role in it. I could see him after 2 or 3 years at Colorado And if they've been constantly around like the top 10, maybe even in the college football playoff, that's proof enough that what he's done has worked. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work at the NFL level, because you can't just turn over your roster 70% of it. You can't just do that every year if you feel like it. So that's where it's going to be a little bit different if he does. But again, he's Deion Sanders, man. If he's won everywhere he goes, don't you think a little bit, just a little bit inside of him is saying, I bet you I could do it there too. Everywhere I've gone, you've doubted me. Watch me do it here too. All right, guys. Well, with that being said, this was fun. I guess you can see I'm still in my suit. I got off work from my new gig, and I said I would be on at 6:35, so I want to be on at 6:35. So I just want to say thank you guys all for watching and participating. We will see you guys in the next one. If you're watching this, sorry, I'm signing off, whoever just popped on. But you can leave a comment here, and when I get back on the mic the next time, we will address it. Or when I'm scrolling through, I'll respond as well. You guys, stay up, stay blessed, and we'll catch you guys on the next one.